welcome to another edition of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and I'm the mindfulness coach here at Hope Rehab.
Yeah, I'm Gordon Boyce. I'm one of the counsellors here at Hope.
Yeah, you're just a new member of staff, aren't you, Gordon?
Yeah.
When did you get here?
3 weeks ago, yesterday.
3 weeks ago, yesterday.
Just over 3 weeks.
And what is what we're going to talk about today? You wanted to talk about...
Smart recovery.
Smart recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is smart recovery?
Well, smart recovery. Smart stands for self-management and recovery training. It's a behavioural model. So it's from like CBT, REBT. CBT is cognitive behavioural therapy. REBT is rational emotive behavioural therapy. So it's a self-empowering, mutual aid, self-help group. It's a good alternative, I see, for stuff like NAA, because it's not getting any of the kind of spiritual stuff in it. You know, there's no mention of God and stuff like that, and a lot of people can be put off by that stuff, so for me it can be a good alternative.
And would you say it's sort of anti the spiritual stuff, or?
No, because there is some mention of it in the workbook. You know, one of the tools, because there's various tools that we use in SMART, one of the tools actually asks about, you know, how is how are you spiritually? But spiritually and SMART kind of means what you're doing to feed your soul.
I was going to ask you that, yeah. Well, so what did he mean by spirituality?
Yeah, it means that it can mean stuff that kind of makes you feel good, you know, stuff with music, reading, you know, gets you connected with, I would say, your kind of true self, you know, in a core values.
And how long is, because I've heard about it before, but how long has it been around, SMART?
It's been about 25, 26 years. It started in America. It came from, I believe, Rational Recovery, and then it shot off and started its own kind of organisation. So it started in America in around about 1990, and it got quite popular in the States, you know, done quite well for a while. And then it was actually a Scottish prison officer. He took it to the United Kingdom, from what I remember. And he was working in the prison, and he seen a lot of people with substance misuse problems coming inside. He didn't feel that they were really helping them, so he was looking for some form of kind of therapy or a group, mutual aid, that he could take and use in the prison to help prisoners deal with their substance misuse problems. So it was actually a Scottish prison officer up in HMP Inverness, I think. He started UK SMART.
Was it influenced by the 12 steps, would you say?
Or? Oh, no, not at all. No, not at all. I mean, there is a few similarities I see.
So what would you say are the similarities then?
The mutual aid part of it, you know, because it's peer-led, so everybody is meant to be in recovery. You know, people that facilitate the groups, they're all in recovery.
But you can turn up there if you're still drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for alcohol and drugs, yeah?
Yeah, well, any addictive behaviour. It's not even about just drugs or alcohol. It can be sex, it can be gambling, it can be shopping, anything, any addictive behaviour. That's another great thing about SMART. We don't use labels in SMART. Mm. So when people introduce themselves in the group in SMART, they don't check in and say, my name's such and such, I'm an addict. It's just, my name's, and that's my name, you know? Because we don't use labels in SMART. Because SMART believes that using kind of labels such as addict can keep us stuck. And they, you know, it can lead to, can kind of feed that negative self-talk. Because I know for myself, when I was using, I used to walk about, call myself a junkie, and really believe that and thought I'd never change. So that's why SMART doesn't use that.
So, and would you say they subscribe to the disease model?
No. They can see the benefits there. SMART's very open-minded, so they don't really have a stance on what kind of model they buy into. There's a bit in the book at the end, and it talks about that. If people want to kind of identify themselves as addicts or believe in the disease model, SMART's open to it. But SMART as such don't stand by the disease model. No. It's just addictive behaviours, and any human being can get the addictive behaviours and stop them as well.
And it's only people, say if someone's turning up and they're not really interested in stopping, they're just interested in, say, moderating or something, will they be allowed to keep on going, or will they be...
Yeah, there's nothing can stop them, but the focus of SMART will always be long-term abstinence, because they believe that's the best form of recovery. Yeah. I mean, I had people come along with my groups. I used to do the groups in HMP Winchester in the UK, Category B prison. And a lot of the people that were coming along to the groups, they were just coming to get out of themselves for a bit. They were just coming, for any reason really. Some of them didn't want to stop, some of them really wanted to change and stuff. I still have them coming along because it could just take one group where the seed gets planted, you know, or something happens. Because there's various tools we use, some are quite powerful. There's one in particular, the hierarchy of values, which is really good for somebody that's in a ambivalence, you know, unsure of about stopping their addictive behaviour. And the hierarchy of values is, we'd use that when somebody's ambivalent, so we'd ask them the five things that's most important to them. And that can be stuff like family, friends, relationships, work, money, job, all that kind of stuff. And we write it down on the board, the five most important things to them. And I say, okay, where would you put your using on that list? And they might go, well, I wouldn't. Or they might straight away realise, well, I put that ahead of everything. And that's the point. You know, I put using at the top of the list. And I make it clear, you know, these things might be important to you. However, your behaviour suggests otherwise when you're using. And that can be really powerful, you know, kind of leave the silence, let it sink in. But then I'll cross out the using and I'll put however, and I'll write out recovery. When you put your recovery first, all this just falls into place.
So this is in the group, so is it almost like you're doing a lesson?
Try not to be like that. Yeah, we try not to be like that.
But is there like board work and...
Yeah, there's definitely board work, but very, very small amount of group time is used on the board. Always use a tool when smart, that's part of the structure.
And how and the person, so the group is led by a facilitator, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what sort of qualification do they have to have?
Well, you just need to do the smart training. You can access the smart training online. I think from what I remember, it's 20 hours of online training. So there's a few.
Do you
videos.
Need to be clean and sober for a certain period of time as well?
No, there's no clean time requirement, but you do need to be like abstinent.
Mm. Is clean time an issue in like, do they mention birthdays and things like that?
No, it's nothing like that. No, nothing.
Is there no sense of seniority? People have been sort of clean as long?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's another thing I quite like about it, you know.
And what about the facilitators though? Do they stay long term or is this a phase people go through?
It's up to them really.
But do you have people that have been around for years?
Yeah, can be. I think people can kind of move up into more paid employment within the smart organisation. But it's up to, it's down to the facilitators really.
That's good.
It's a good alternative to like NAA and stuff like that.
Well, yes, there's people who do both of them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'd be one of them, you know. There's definitely benefits in doing both.
Do you think you need both of them?
You don't need. No, you don't need.
But do you think you needed both of them?
I don't know. I can definitely see the benefits of doing both. You know, when I started learning about like ABCs and SMART, that was really useful in my daily life. You know, activate an event, something happens, I get feelings around that, but then I check out my thoughts, what's creating the feelings. And it's usually like negative self-talk, core belief stuff, I'm not good enough. So it's a good tool to practice, you know, to dispute that stuff, because it's all rubbish that goes on in my head, which creates all these feelings. So stuff like that I found really useful. And I've also seen kind of similarities between the two. You know, for me, like the ABC is almost like a step four. You know, working out what's real and what's not.
And there was no sort of sense, you know, did you ever feel sort of uncomfortable about doing them both, that there was some sort of conflict there?
When I first started doing SMART, I was like, this goes against everything I know about 12-step and what I believe in and stuff like that. So, because I get paid employment to do SMART recovery groups inside the prison, and so I started the training and I thought, this really goes against everything I believe. Because it was saying it was about choice, we choose to use and we can choose to stop, whereas I came from the kind of powerless concept, you know. So it brought up a lot of issues for me at the time.
How did you resolve that?
I spoke to people. I spoke to the guy that had done it before me, who was also 12-step. And I kind of worked out myself a lot as well. I came to my own kind of understanding. Because for me, I don't like to deliver stuff that I don't really believe in. You know what I mean? I need to invest in that. You know what I mean? Or I just feel like a fraud. It's just who I am as a person. But I kind of got round it. I started seeing similarities like the ABC and Step 4, and around the choice thing. Yeah, that still confuses me at times. You know, was it a choice?
Me, could it possibly be that different approaches are right in their own way, even though they're completely different?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, a lot of the time, all these different approaches, be it SMART, be it 12-step, ACT, whatever, all the time it's the same stuff, just in a different language.
I see the same with mindfulness. I see like a lot of, you know, my way of looking at things, because I'm not a 12-step person, SMART person, that it seems very different to what I'm, you know, what I'm into. But I sort of say, well, you know, these are just different paths mostly.
Yeah, that's it. And if it's helping someday, who cares?
I think, you know, that's one thing I do sort of feel that, you know, like true may not be what's important, it's what works that's what's important.
Yeah.
And I think if you go too heavily into true, you know, finding the truth, true to things.
Yeah.
You know, we're into, you know, there is no true to things.
That's right.
So, I mean, what would you say are the drawbacks of SMART? I mean, one I could think of is the lack of meetings. It seems to be...
Yeah, there's not as much support for it as well. You know, it's getting better, I think.
Is it?
I think so. I never really seen it myself much. I did see it in Portsmouth. The groups were getting bigger in the community. It was going well in the prison.
Mm.
A big part of what the lights, it seemed like, in the prison was the fact that I was able to walk into the prison. I had keys. You know, I was a paid member of staff, but I was also in recovery.
Yeah.
You know, I used what they used, and they instantly identified me and stuff, and they wanted to come to my groups because of that. You know, they liked hearing about how my life was going and stuff like that.
Do you think there's a reason why the 12 steps has managed to be more popular? Is it just luck? Was it just a luck thing?
Well, it's been,
that
it's
the right
been,
at the right time, it's around at the right time, or is there something more to it? Is it more populist?
There's a few things. It's been around in the UK for 30 odd years.
Mm.
But also a big thing that feeds 12-step is the treatment centres.
Mm.
There's a lot of 12-step treatment centres, and they're all saying, when you get out, go to 12-step meetings, do this. So sometimes when you're in secondary treatment, part of the programme is to attend a certain amount of meetings per week. So 12-step rehabs are feeding all the meetings. There's no such thing with SMART, you know, no rehab says, not that I know of, go to SMART meetings, you know what I mean? But it is getting bigger. Before I left, it was getting bigger in Portsmouth. More people come along to SMART, and the same in the prison.
Is it for everybody?
I would say so, yeah. Why not? I'd say that.
But is there some personalities that you would sort of say, you know, that you think, no, that'd be better, 12 steps?
Oh, yeah, I think you've got to be very person-centred. You know, you've got to try and work out what's best for the client or the person, for what approach would work best for them.
What type of client would you say would be perfect for SMART?
Somebody that's probably quite rational. You know how you get the different kind of personality types, you know, Jung's archetypes.
Mm.
So somebody that's quite rational, not very feely, I would suggest. Also, perhaps somebody that's put off by the God word. You know, a lot of us very resistant. Or perhaps I've tried 12-step before and really don't want to go back.
Mm.
SMART would be a good option.
And what type of person would you say might not be suitable for SMART? That you would sort of advise against it?
I've seen that quite a lot in the prison. Somebody that's kind of, though SMART did kind of work for them as well, but I would say somebody that's kind of very entrenched in the 12-step model, you know, has maybe had a bit of recovery before, went through the steps, knows about the language of 12-step. When they go into a SMART meeting, the language is quite different. You know, it's all about choice, it's all about responsibility, though that's in 12-step as well, but it's all about empowerment. It's our power, it's nothing to do with a higher power. That can be quite difficult for somebody that's done 12-step before. I had a few instances in the prison, you know, I had to pull people up and say, you don't need to use that language in here, you don't need to identify yourself as an addict, and it's like, whoa. You know.
But could you see a danger, like, in somebody bouncing between the two?
Yeah, I can, yeah. Yeah, I think...
Like, as soon as it gets hard on one, they go to the other one, and as soon as it gets hard on that, they go back to the...
It can become confusing.
Mm.
One of the problems, I think, for having so many different kind of treatment options, it can be kind of confusing.
Yeah.
You need, sometimes I think you just need to kind of stick to one and follow that path. Otherwise, you can become, like, contradicted, you know, it's like... And it can just mess mess up your head.
Yeah, I imagine.
That's personal speaking, you know.
And one thing I've noticed, so like, because I've no sort of dog in the game, but say no dog in the game, or whatever it is. And so when people ask me, you know, I would never sort of discourage someone to go to the 12 steps or encourage, you know, I'm sort of unbiased as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But the one thing I have noticed is that most people who don't want to go to these meetings, it's often the wrong reason.
12-step
meeting? Yeah, but I suppose it would be the same for smart as well. So usually the resistance is for the wrong, it's often for the wrong reason.
Yes, it's all other stuff, but they make kind of excuses for not going.
And I think if you're not going to do something like that, you have to have something better.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, and that's why, you know, you sort of think, what is this resistance about? I just wonder, I mean, could you get it happening that was someone sort of, you know, oh, the 12 steps is getting, it's getting too hard now, I'll go to this, and then this is getting too hard now.
I mean, I've come up against that in the prison.
Mm.
People just resisting to go in groups of any type.
Yeah.
That was part of the challenge of my role, and a part I kind of enjoyed, you know, I'd go in the wings.
But would you say SMART is less sort of group focused in the sense, less, more appropriate for, say, less social people?
It can be, yeah.
Or is there a big social element as well?
It doesn't have to be. I would say about SMART though, it's not group therapy.
Mm.
You know, it's a peer-led support group, but it's not like group therapy. We're not going to get any kind of stuff from childhood or underlying issues. It's all about kind of here and now and getting to the solution, the tools, how we can help you with this problem. It's not about looking about how you feel about, you know, your childhood or anything like that. It's just about more here and now stuff. What you're struggling with.
And in the meetings, I mean, do you have to share?
You don't have to. You can. What we do, we start. So there's a structure we follow. We start with.
You tell us about that.
Yeah, we start with I think it's the guidelines, and then we'll have the opening statement. It's all in the book, and then we'll have a check in. It just gives each person a chance to check in how their week's been. It's a 4-point program as well.
Mm.
So the 4 points of the program, off the top of my head, are building and maintaining motivation, coping with urges, managing thoughts, feelings and behaviours, and living a healthy lifestyle balance.
Mm.
So that's the 4 points of the programme. The tools are based on those 4 points. So we'll have a check-in. Not
the time
long.
Limit, and
yeah, it depends on the size of the group.
If someone starts sort of wandering out, sort of...
Yeah, it's the facilitator's job to kind of try and manage that. So we won't spend too long on the check-in. Meetings usually last for like an hour and a half. So say 20 minutes on the check-in, maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less. And then from the check-in, people will try and pull out an agenda from the check-in. Usually there's a theme. What I do is I try and base it on the 4 points of the programme. So I might notice a kind of couple of similarities, and I'll say, right, we'll look at that first, and then we'll come to what you spoke about. We'll spend a bit of time, explore it, what's going on for them, and then we'll get into a tool, you know, get into the solution, how it can help them, move on to the next agenda. So we'll always set the agenda at the start of the meeting, use some tools, have a wee chat. It's quite relaxed most of the time. In the prison, I spoke a lot about my own experience as well, because part of my role was kind of carrying hope, you know, there's a way out of addiction. And then we'll go on to the checkout, just how we found the group today, and that's it, really.
No, right.
Yeah. It's
fairly
relaxed.
Really well attended?
They were in the prison, yeah, and in the community. It's funny, because I worked with IOM, Integrated Offender Management, which is basically people that have been in and out of prison, you know, really big criminal records, never really accessed kind of treatment before, as in like groups or anything like that. And I've got a substance misuse problem. So they'd be working with police and probation. They'd be quite resistant a lot of the time to working with police or probation. So we would come in, myself and my colleague, and we'd kind of talk to them on their level, you know, because we'd been there, and they'd be quite open to that a lot of the time, you know. So we would get people into our groups that were historically quite hard to engage, or other professionals we found hard to engage. And we'd start that engagement, you know, so it was almost kind of like a peer-led model, and it worked quite well, you know.
And so if someone was interested in SMART, how would he go about sort of, you know, finding out about it and stuff?
Well, you can go on the, if you're in the UK, you can go on the SMART Recovery UK website, just Google Smart Recovery UK. There's online meetings you can go to on there, and there's meeting lists.
They're live, obviously they're live.
Yeah, they're live. I think they are, like, most nights about 7:30 UK time. But there's like a meeting list on there as well.
What, are they on Google Hangouts or something, or?
No, they're actually on the website, the Smart Recovery website. I think they use, I'm not
oh,
sure.
Oh, so you're looking at it rather than engaging in it?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
oh, okay.
It's quite clever how they do it, yeah. You can see the tools come up and stuff like that, and there's like voice chat. It's really quite good,
okay.
Yeah. There's also meeting lists there, so you can find out if you've got local meetings near to you.
And would that be okay for someone who had no local smart meeting to just do it online? Or did you really mean face-to-face?
You don't need face-to-face. It might help, because a big part of addiction can be isolation, so it might help combat that. But you don't need it. You know, you couldn't just do video chat. I'm aware that in America, smart recovery is a lot, because it's been there a lot longer, so I think it's quite well-established over there. There's more meetings around. I'm not sure about other countries. I'm aware of what America and the United Kingdom, but I don't know about anywhere else in the world where they've got smart, so I'm not sure.
Is there an equivalent of a sponsor in it, is there?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
But say somebody's new and they just don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
Can they get someone to sort of guide them through it, or it has to be as part of the group?
Yeah, I would say do it in the group, you know. It will come with time. The more meetings you attend, you'll start to understand the kind of language you use in smart, and you'll start to understand a few tools. And it's encouraged that, you know, some group members go on and do the facilitator training so they can become facilitators as well. So
okay.
Yeah, there's no sponsors or anything like that. It's very very self-empowering.
Mm.
You know, it's, you've got all the power. It's your choice to stop. It's your choice to use.
And is it a free program? Or?
It is, yeah. The training's free. Yeah, it's all free.
So how does it stay afloat? How does it...
They rely on... If it's not part of a substance misuse service, because some of the meetings are, but there's also just purely peer-led. So they're all just like volunteers leading the meeting. They'll pass like a hat at the end of the meeting, collect money, donations to pay for the rent of the building, and that's it.
And is it more or less like 12 steps in that basically anyone can set up a meeting once they're okay?
Yeah, they must have the facilitator training.
But once they have, they can sort of go anywhere and open up their own meeting.
Yeah, that's right. That's encouraged. Yeah, and then check in with the head office just to make them aware there's a new meeting started, so they can add it to the website.
And have you been to meetings around the UK and stuff?
Where have I been? I've been to HMP Pentonville and I've been to HMP Holloway for some smart meetings in there.
I just wonder if there's different flavours to it depending on.
No, they were really quite similar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they've all got the same kind of structure.
So you're not allowed to depart from the structure too much?
No, not at all, really. I mean, I think different facilitators though kind of add their own personality and stuff to it, but you need to stick to the structure. Otherwise, it's not smart.
I mean, the thing that I sort of heard about smart is that they say it's evidence based. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But surely then it must need to change over time because the evidence changes to support.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I remember reading a few months ago that they kind of updated the website where it said something around. They're open to the concept of the disease model, and if people want to identify themselves as addicts, they can. Something to that. So they constantly update things, and I think they update the
And where are they with medications and stuff? Are they
another thing about smart. If the support of say you're on a methadone script, but you've stopped using, smart has no opinion on that. If you want to identify yourself as in recovery, you can't.
And what about other issues, like say people with depression, people...
That's between you and your doctor, smart would say.
But you won't get any sort of, because you know it's so common to come together.
Yeah.
Like especially a lot of people here, you know, they sort of come here, they've got these multiple issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart would say, no, you need to get that.
Yeah, because in smart meetings, it's just to deal with your substance misuse problem,
right.
Like your addictive behaviour, rather. It's not just substance misuse, it can be any addictive behaviour. So there's one of the guidelines is if you start talking about, you know, if you need like counselling or there's stuff that comes up in your check-in, we would refer you to that, but we're just here to work with addictive behaviours.
But what about practical advice though? Like say someone's like really messed up their life, are you not allowed to?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about it. We try to speak from our own experience rather than try to tell people what to do with their
lives,
you know. Yeah.
But someone's sort of said, listen, you know, I've really messed up, I'm homeless now, like what do we do?
Oh, we could offer support around that,
you know.
We could kind of signpost them and stuff like that. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
It's just if, you know, if it was kind of deep issues people brought up, we need to make them aware this isn't a counselling group or therapy.
Oh, right, so even if you went into too much detail about problems at home, that'd be sort of frowned upon?
I wouldn't say it's frowned upon. I'd say, let me see, just got to make it clear that it's not a therapy group. Because people can come in and, you know, get really kind of heavy, and, you know, be our job as a facilitator to maybe signpost them to relevant services to get help with that. We can offer suggestions, you know, maybe we could use a tool around it, you know, if they have problems at home. But if it's, you know, stuff around childhood and trauma and stuff like that, SMART's not for that, you know.
That sounds really interesting, and I'm sure some people will be curious to find out more. So, thanks very much.
That's all right. I hope it was helpful.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.